The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Jack Smith is tight-lipped. He was spotted today by CNN going to Subway for lunch, picking up a sandwich, leaving, and not saying a word.
Jack Smith going to Subway today is a message to Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump tries to intimidate people. He tries to bully people. He tries to scare you away. That was Jack Smith with no words and a simple $5 sub in his hand saying, I'm here, I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, the imagery was intentional and spoke volumes.
It really is.
Turns out even Jack Smith can't resist a $5 footlong. That's according to what we see right there, new and exclusive CNN video of the special counsel at Subway. So I won't ask you all of the less important things about what he got and how he paid and all that. But what is important is the imagery here. They clearly wanted us to see him and that image to be very different from what we saw in the former president's post, which is that he's a deranged individual.
Yeah, I mean, look, I can count probably five or six sandwich shops between his office and that location that he was at earlier today. He stood in line just like everybody else, and I couldn't tell whether it was a foot long or was it a 6-inch sub.
Powerful analysis there coming to you from our friends at CNN. A message sent by Jack Smith. He went off to Subway on his own. Yeah, stood in line, got the meatball marinara. And this tells us that he's a tough guy. He's tough enough to take down Donald Trump because of this. That's right. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. You have to laugh. You have to laugh to hold on to your sanity. That's hilarious, that kind of coverage. In any event, the live video stream, TrumpetDaily.com. Just go to TrumpetDaily.com and you can watch the live stream every weekday morning in the central time zone of the United States at 11 a.m., I guess 11:05 to be precise. You can also watch this show live at our Rumble channel. Just search for the Trumpet Daily and you can join our growing audience. There's a fairly active online chat going on with the Rumble channel even as we speak. Just search for the Trumpet Daily over at Rumble. Don't forget to leave us a nice comment and also the thumbs up Rumble. Drive those numbers up if you can. That would be awesome. First of all, $5 for a sub. I don't think that's quite true anymore. It shows you how much these out-of-touch elites go to your ordinary sandwich shop. I think it's the $10 sub now. At least it is on the one down on Waterloo here in Edmond. $10. That's Bidenomics for you. Biden economics, I should say. They brag and they brag and they brag about how great the economy is. And it costs $10 to get a sandwich these days. $10. Okay, we'll let that go. We'll let that go. We'll leave that aside. But how does this demonstrate that he's a tough guy? What kind of message is he actually sending? Okay, so the indictment is about to come down. Yet another. If you feel like you've heard this story before, you're right. There's some saying it could come down as soon as tomorrow. An indictment on Trump. Seditious conspiracy, if you can believe it. He conspired to overthrow the government. In fact, the communist left conspired to prevent Congress from ever examining the evidence of election fraud. That's why they incited the riot. Trump? You mean they're going to get Trump on seditious conspiracy charges when he told the people who gathered at the Ellipse at that protest to go over to Congress and to protest outside peacefully? I mean, it was Ray Epps that said go inside. Yeah, he said storm the Capitol. And then it was Pelosi's police that opened many of the doors. And they're going to get Trump? You can't make this up. The real sedition the real conspiracy. It's been going on since Donald Trump beat Hillary Clinton in 2016. And by the way, she's never accepted the results of that election. She says that Trump conspired with Putin to steal the 2016 election. So she's an election denier, has never gone to prison. There's never even been an indictment over her seditious conspiracy. Look at what Obama got away with, even after he left office. Obama's police state, all of the persecution, never ending, nonstop. Well, it's fulfilling Bible prophecy. So in that way, it's pretty exciting to watch these things. It's painful to watch your country die. Jason Aldean, I think, is the name of the country singer. CMT banned his video. It's about Antifa and BLM burning down American cities, persecuting, killing in some cases, shop owners, carjackings, and so on. And this country singer is out there singing, yeah, come try that in a small town, and you'll see what happens. It's about to boil over. It really is. And that's prophesied too. I mean, we got to tell you the truth on this program, even if no one else will. Civil war is coming. That's the truth. There's warring that's going on even now. We've talked about this for the last 2.5 years. My father wrote, this is from January 2021, so this is 2.5 years old, this article. He says, as there were anciently, there are forces afflicting Israel, seeking to bring it down. These forces attacking America today are terribly destructive, and the worst of them are within the nation. The attack is from the inside. And then you get the regime out there just spewing all the lies, reading into a sub, of all things, a foot-long sub. This is a message. I mean, you put that together. Let's play the Pelosi clip. This is Nancy Pelosi, if you can believe it, talking about just how youthful and energetic Joe Biden is. Clip 13.
And we couldn't be better served in that regard than by President Joe Biden. This is a person who respects other points of view, a person who has a vision about our country that is consistent with the vision of our founders, that respects the sacrifice of our men and women in uniform to keep our freedom intact and, again, honors the aspirations of our children. He has a vision about the future. He knows the issues. He's strategic in how to get things done. And that's all intellectual. From the heart, he's the most empathetic, unifying person we could have. So I'm very excited about the reelection of the president. His Bidenomics are very kitchen table issues.
A lot of people are talking about the president's age as a factor in this, especially Republicans. What do you make of the criticism the president is getting that he's too old to have a second term?
I think the president should embrace his age, his experience, the knowledge that he brings to the job. Actually, the leader on the other side is not much younger. I don't like to use his name, yeah. But you know who I mean. Again, age is relative. I was in L.A. For some Democratic stuff recently, and I met with Norman Lear, who's 100, going on 101. He was telling me some new shows he was involved in. I was meeting with Frank Gehry, a 90-something architect, showing me new buildings he's building throughout the world. And they were like, 80? He's a kid. But as a kid, it's relative. He's younger than I am, so he's a kid to me.
funny. It's unclear, by the way, what's going on with her eyebrows, but this is Pelosi out there saying that Joe Biden's a kid. He's empathetic. He has all the experience. Why not? It would be Biden economics. I mean, why shouldn't he run again? Denying the obvious, as is Mika, of course. All of them do. And then you get the very serious. This is
CNN. The subway sends a message to Trump.
Trump is the one that's the acting like the tough guy, so says the regime. But along comes a real tough guy. You know how you know he's tough? He went and got a sub. He got a meatball sub at Subway. can't make this up. Donald Trump has been blocking this movement, my father writes, to blot out the name of Israel from under heaven. That includes America. Is his job finished? No, it isn't. So I don't believe at all that he will depart from the scene. And look at that. I mean, he's the center of conversation there with Pelosi and Mika. She can't mention him by name, of course. But we know full well, the regime media told us yesterday, I played the clips, he's Mussolini. He's a dictator. We've gone from Madison to Mussolini. And here we are. I mean, did Trump go away? This is what they all want, of course. This is the reason for the third indictment coming out perhaps as early as tomorrow. Because they want Trump to go away. But the Trumpet, you see, our magazine, the Trumpet, my father, he's been talking for 2.5 years about the fact that he's not going anywhere. He's the only one. Really, you look at what passes for commentary or these politicians and what they say. Trump really and truly is like the only adult left in the room. The rest of them are just a bunch of children. And they hate him. They hate him because he is. He is serious-minded. He is an adult. He does fight. He does have courage. He is exposing all of the corruption. This is from his Turning Point action event in Palm Beach over the weekend. Clip 11.
The only thing I can say is we've now seen how bad it is, how bad their policies are. So in one way, that's the only way, but in one way, we're showing the world, we're showing the country how bad they are. Open borders, how stupid is open borders? All of these things that they've done to destroy our country, so we can actually be more effective in the next 4 years because of it, because it's so bad what they've done.
Yeah, and we've been talking for a couple years now about the one positive in this election steal from 2020 is that it really has blown the lid off of all the corruption, the stealing, the lying, the cheating, the violence even. And there's Trump saying that's, you know, I guess there is a silver lining to what happened in 2020. As sad and as lawless as it was, look at what's been exposed since. My father continues, this means this nation is about to be shocked. I believe you're going to see fraud exposed like you've never even imagined. In a sense, you could say the left is fighting against God and God's prophecy. It says, in fact, prophecy shows that many earth-shaking events are certain to happen in the next few years. We're going to see things unfold that will amount, or add up, I guess, perhaps every week. I think there's a word missing from the quote, but he's saying we're going to be shocked by all that's happening. He says, I don't know exactly how this will play out, but I believe God is allowing it to happen this way to ensure that the evil and corruption in America is exposed. It has been exposed. It certainly has been. That's an article from January 2021, 2.5 years ago, right as Donald Trump was on the way out and the media, the regime media, was creating this fake insurrection so that examination of the evidence of election fraud would never see the light of day. That's right. Was it to Trump's advantage to storm the Capitol and to try to overturn the government? Did it support his cause? He wanted the examination to go forward in Congress. He wanted the evidence of fraud to be looked at. The media, the communists, they blew all that up by creating this fake insurrection. It says here, this is another article from earlier this year, the Ready for War Trumpet. That's this right here, January 2023. If you haven't subscribed, by the way, make sure that you call our operators today and subscribe to the Trumpet magazine. It's 1-866-930-3024 in that January issue. My father says, on November 15, Donald Trump announced his candidacy for the 2024 presidential election. In his speech, he said, together we will be taking on the most corrupt forces and entrenched interests imaginable. Our country is being destroyed before our very eyes. The Washington establishment wants to silence us, but we will not let them do that. We will be attacked, he said. We will be slandered. We will be persecuted, but we will not be intimidated. We will persevere. And he went on to say in that same speech, we're gonna win. We're coming back. I'm coming back. One last statement. My father says, after all the terrible attacks on this man for the past 6 years, it's remarkable that he has the stamina and determination and fight to keep doing battle for this country. He is a man ready for war. This is what we've been forecasting for these past couple of years. You've seen it in the trumpet going back to January of 2021, all the way through to this year. He has to war to recover something. And as my father has said, that right there, that prophecy in 2 Kings 14, just the fact that he has to go out and recover it implies that it was taken away or it was stolen. So he's warring his way back. And you've got Jack Smith and all these deranged prosecutors, Alvin Bragg, trying to get him on a technicality, trying to get him on thought crimes. That's what the next indictment amounts to. A thought crime. He was thinking the wrong thing. He was saying the election was stolen when deep in his heart of hearts, he actually knew it wasn't stolen. So he lied. He stirred up the mob. He led this seditious conspiracy. And then the one before that, well, of course, moving a few boxes around. Not at the Biden Penn Center or in Wilmington or Chinatown. That's what Bidens do. They move classified documents all over the place. Boxes, no boxes, doesn't matter. Just set them behind Hunter's Corvette. They're secure. Hey, listen, the garage, the Biden garage is secure. Now, the closets in Mar-a-Lago, that's where they're surrounded by Secret Service, by the way. That's another story. Very dangerous. Well, he had the nuclear codes. He was going to give them to North Korea. It's an upside-down world, isn't it? Isaiah 5:20. Call evil good and call good evil. Or divine motives. Or divine conclusions. He got the sub. He bought the sub. He's tough. He's really, really tough, this guy. What a message. Donald Trump must be laughing. What a message. There's a message in that? Listen, this is from, I believe, a Sunday interview with Maria Bartiromo. Here's Donald Trump again, clip 5.
If there's anything that you could look back on in 16 that you think maybe you want to do differently this time around.
Well, the mistakes would be that a lot of people, for instance, say you should have been softer. But I was under siege by people that were very dishonest. If I was soft, I wouldn't be talking to you right now. Believe me, I wouldn't have been able to finish out one of the most successful terms as president, to a point where it was so successful that I'm leading by 50 points right now. You know, I mean, that wouldn't have happened. The mistake would be people.
That's another way of saying they wanted him to surrender. You need to be softer. But here's the real tough guy. I mean, here's the real man of courage. Here's a man with a fighting spirit. And of course, they hate the fact that he won't lie down and die and just remove himself. He won't go away. So Jack Smith's got to come up with these bogus charges. And then the regime media, they've got to trump it up like, oh, this is serious. Yeah, he's the perfect man for the job, Jack Smith. What a tough guy. He went to Subway. This is another bit from that same interview, clip 6.
And, you know, these other guys that are running, they think, oh, well, you know, they're going to go nice and smooth. No, they'll create phony stories on them. They'll create their own Russia. These people are sick. Guys like Adam Schiff. He's a sick person. I mean, he's really a sick, but they make things up and then you have to spend time getting out of it. They do it now.
But he may become a senator.
He may become. Isn't that a crazy thing? Well, maybe not. He's running against some people that are much better than him. He's a sick person. He made up a thing on Russia and Ukraine where he actually talked about my call with President Zelensky. He didn't know we had the call taped. Fortunately, it was taped. And he made up a speech He made a speech in Congress about what my call was, where he was actually reading the speech of what I said. And then when I released it, I said, you know, we happen to have a tape of that. It was a total lie. I said he ought to be prosecuted for what he did. But when you go to Congress, believe it or not, you can say anything you want. You don't get prosecuted and you can't get sued. And I think it's terrible. But no, this guy's got, I mean, he's very sick people. Look, if they would use their evil genius to make America great again, it would be great.
He sees the corruption now more than ever, all the more so because of the last 2.5 years of bitter affliction. With respect, that's also in that passage, 2 Kings 14, in America Under Attack. Make sure you call our operators for this book as well. But in this, my father goes through that 2 Kings 14 passage in some detail. It talks about God saving Israel by the hand of Jeroboam. And then later, Jeroboam has to go in war to recover. And as my father explains in this book, if you just look at the two words, saving and then warring, they're different. There's a different meaning there. And the implication, again, is that something was stolen or taken away, and Donald Trump or this Jeroboam movement, they have to go in war to recover it, to recover what was rightfully theirs. This is from America Under Attack. It says, verse 28 of 2 Kings 14 strongly indicates that Mr. Trump recovers his presidency by some kind of warring. This strongly indicates more than just voting. In order to return to power, Mr. Trump has to war. If God says President Trump is going to recover something, then it will be recovered. Goes on and talks about a prophecy in Amos 7 as well. I mean, this is what we base our forecast on, always and forever. We base it on the sure word of Bible prophecy. That's how Peter described it in his epistle. The sure word, God's word is sure. God's word is certain. God is reliable. You can rely on God. This week we've been talking about just the holiness and the purity of God's law. How that every word in this book, this holy Bible, every word is given by inspiration from God. God inspired the truths contained in the holy Bible. I was encouraging the campers this morning to do the same as I've been encouraging you. Use the book. Use it as the guidebook, as the instruction manual that it is. Build your life around the truth of God and His holy and divine laws. Stay within the bounds of those laws, and you are sure to receive blessings and prosperity, joy and happiness, peace, contentment, unity, happiness in family living. Listen to, switching back to this 2 Kings 14 prophecy. This is from a town hall last night that Trump had with Sean Hannity in Iowa, a pretty important state with respect to the primaries. Clip one.
2024 is the most important election that we've ever had. You know, and I used to say it with 2016, and I meant it 100%. But we're going into almost a communistic state, and I think maybe we're even there. When you look at what they're doing with, you could call it fascist, you could call it Marxist, you could call it communist, what they're doing, like with the Department of Justice, they've totally weaponized it. It's weaponized like we've never had this before. It's not only me. Catholics, you see what's happening? Parents at school boards, they're being harassed by the Justice Department, by the FBI. Nobody's ever seen what's happening right now. And we have a guy, the head of this country, it's probably not him, it's people around him. They have people that are vicious and smart and have horrible ideas for our country.
A war to recover, just like it says in America Under Attack. He knows what he's going up against. And it's interesting in this same town hall, because I think it was when he was with Bartiromo the other day, she said to him, you know, you didn't, those 4 years you were in there, you really didn't drain the swamp, which, you know, there's a lot of truth to that. He certainly didn't get rid of all of these corrupt agents, these agents of destruction. But he pointed this out in his exchange with Hannity last night. Notice this, number two.
One thing we did that was so great, I fired Comey very early. And a lot of people said, oh, you should have done it. Well, you know, they're given a term. They're given a term very early. Not immediately early, but very early, early in a few months. And I got rid of this guy. And by doing that, it was like you threw a rock at a hornet's nest. The whole thing collapsed. You saw the love letters back and forth with the different people talking about the insurance policy. You know what the insurance policy, that was against me.
That was how to...
If she, for some reason, loses, darling, we have an insurance policy. The insurance policy is they'll get me out. One way or the other, they'll get me out. Because you know what? This is 30, 35 years of being put into government. And you get there. And initially, I didn't know people in Washington. I was there 17 times in my entire life. I never stayed over, before this. All of a sudden, I'm president of the United States. I relate. And we had tremendous people also. Don't forget, biggest tax cuts in history. Biggest regulation cuts in history, rebuilt our military, took out ISIS, took out Soleimani, took out al-Baghdadi, the two biggest terrorists in the world. I mean, what we did was incredible. Strongest border we've ever had. Everything was good. No inflation. Best economy in history. We did all of this stuff. We had tremendous people. Look, they made a lot of money.
Yeah.
No. So we had tremendous people. But we also had some. You rely on others. You rely on people that you knew. You rely on other politicians to give you answers. And you find out that they are rhinos or they gave you bad advice. So we had some that weren't good. But when you think, Comey had a term. He had many years left in that term. I said, this guy's bad news. I realized it very early in the administration. I fired him. And it was wild. That's when we found out all of the corruption. Had I not fired Comey, you wouldn't know any of the things that you were talking about.
You think they would have destroyed you?
Well, they were trying to take me out. Yeah, they were trying to take me out. I mean, it was like a coup.
It was a coup. It is a coup. But an interesting observation there, that taking Comey out really was like throwing a rock at a hornet's nest. It just blew it all up. And now you can see what was happening between Strzok and Page, and you can see so many things have been revealed. All this lawlessness and corruption. And it seems like it's never ending. More and more, and I know there's plenty of people that say, yeah, but they're never held to account. And to this point, they're right. They're right. But what, again, coming back to prophecy, what does God say will happen? He's coming back, and he says he's going to fire people. And as you heard yesterday, I mean, this terrifies the regime. This terrifies the media. The fact that he would use presidential power to appoint people that are actually faithful to his agenda, that are actually patriots, that don't want to destroy the country and the Constitution together with it. This section in America Under Attack on the bitter affliction, which is what our country is in the midst of right now, it's bitter. Prices are skyrocketing. $5 footlong. Okay, right. These people are so out of touch with just what ordinary Americans are encountering every single day. My father says the Bible actually prophesied what is now happening in America. It describes it as bitter affliction. This book exposes the cause of this affliction. It's the only book that does so. America Under Attack. It's the only one. And more people are reading it. We're going to have to get another print run going pretty soon. It says, the Bible also prophesies that God will save America from this affliction in a specific way through a specific man. This book gives you advanced news of how God will relieve this bitterness soon. This book, he's speaking of this one right here. You see it up there on your screen. You see the 800 number. Make sure that you call and request a free copy. There's no cost, no obligation. We just want to give it to as many people as we can give it to. We want to spread the message. We want to draw attention to God's word. We want to put a magnifier on the truth of God, the sure word of Bible prophecy. God loves this world. God wants the people of America, the people of Britain, to understand and know what's happening to their nations and why it's happening. It says here, Israel was in bitter affliction, on the verge of being blotted out of existence. There was an effort to blot out the name of Israel, a satanic goal This resurgence was not because of any, this is further on, the resurgence, the Jeroboam resurgence, was not because of any personal greatness or leadership skill by Jeroboam. It was because God took pity on Israel in its affliction. God had pity on our nations. He didn't want to see the entire name blotted out. He obviously is disgusted and appalled by our many sins, the sickness in Israel, head to toe. And he is going to correct our nations in the end with a rod of iron. He has to get our attention, to get us to turn back to the truth of the Bible, to get us to acknowledge him, to acknowledge his sure word of prophecy. How many times, who else is out there even talking about the bitter affliction? Is Chris Christie doing it? He can't stop punching Donald Trump any chance he gets. He was on TV the other day talking about how he'd win a fist fight with Donald Trump. Why are so many people talking about how they could beat up Donald Trump? Physically, I mean. These are children. Little children. Joe Biden did the same thing. Nancy Pelosi, she's threatened him as well. She can't say his name, but boy, they sure talk tough, these people. And then the regime media, they hop right on board. Tough talk. Well, in some ways you can see why they talk tough, because they control so much, so many institutions that are quite powerful. But God says the tables are going to turn. You just listen to how they hyperventilate. They're panicking. And you can begin to get a sense that, wait a second, maybe what God says is actually going to happen. Wait, like my father said, we don't know all the details, the twists and the turns, but step back from time to time and just consider the sure word of prophecy. As I say, with respect to Donald Trump, I mean, who else but Donald Trump is there exposing this bitter, bitter affliction? This was at the Turning Point conference over the weekend as well, clip number 7.
This is the most dishonest president in history. And I wouldn't have said it. You know, I have pride in the presidency and respect for the presidency. I wouldn't have said it. But I say things about him over the last 3 weeks that I would have never said before about any president. He is a corrupt, horrible, incompetent man, and he's destroying our country, and we have to have it changed.
That's Donald Trump from over the weekend. Again, talking about the corruption, the evil, the filth, the bitterness, the affliction. Here again, this is clip 8.
Because our country is ready to go down, ready to go possibly into World War III, and this won't be a war like others. This will be a nuclear war, and the level of destruction, it's called obliteration. It's not two army tanks going back and forth shooting at each other. This is big stuff, and we have a man who's grossly incompetent, who doesn't even know where he is, who can't put two sentences together. And this is the man that's telling us what we're going to be doing.
This is bitter affliction. Listen to him here talk about just the hopelessness setting in among young people in particular. Clip 9.
Under Biden, hope and opportunity for young people, so many young people here, are being utterly extinguished. In the Biden economy, 1/3 of Gen Z and millennials have no savings accounts and no saving whatsoever. They have nothing. They have nothing. Home ownership has been pushed out of reach for millions, with the rate of 30-year mortgages up 177% since I left office. And by the way, that's nothing compared to energy, where we were energy independent. And now you look at what's happened to energy. We're getting our energy from Venezuela. You believe that one? Real wages collapsed 26 months in a row, real wages, because of inflation and various other things that are happening. Typical Americans have seen their incomes crushed by $7,400 a year since Biden took office.
That's just in 2.5 years' time. People's incomes, their real income, just crushed. Crushed. They're losing money because of inflation, skyrocketing costs all over the place, including at Subway. Crushed. Listen to Nancy Pelosi as she talks about just how wonderful everything is, echoing again what you commonly hear from Joe Obama. This is number 14.
I'm there for the children. And so my judgment about anybody is what they are doing is harmful to the children, whether it's the air they breathe, the climate crisis that we have, their education, children learning, parents earning. We have a wonderful country, and we have to recapture some of the greatness that, again, has been put in doubt by the current leadership in the Republican Party in the Congress of the United States.
Everything's wonderful except for Republicans. We just have to silence Republicans. We just have to blot out Republicans. We just have to blot out the opposition. And then we'll have this Garden of Eden utopia. This is the way they think. This is even as they go about abusing their power, weaponizing these alphabet agencies, persecuting political opponents. They have the audacity to say that it's Donald Trump who's the dictator. It's Donald Trump who's abusing his power, I guess. He doesn't have any power at the moment. It's Donald Trump who's Mussolini. This is bitter, bitter affliction. But just remember, as we've been saying for a couple years, more than 2 years, the war to recover, it's happening right now, even as we speak. It's not going to be just by a simple vote. I mean, he's having indictment after indictment. He's got to go to war in court. It's probably going to find its way up to the Supreme Court at some point. And yet, amid all of this, here he is. He's still the center of attention. He still is the talking point that everything revolves around, even among the regime media. He just won't go away. If you don't have your copy of America Under Attack, make sure you call our operators today and request your free copy. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the program, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. And if you're at the Rumble channel, as I said at the start, remember to give us that thumbs up and leave a comment if you so choose. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. What has happened to the United States of America? The wealthiest, most powerful nation in human history is suddenly divided, weakened, radical. The evil in America has grown powerful. The good has grown weak. The honorable parts of American history are succumbing to a direct, targeted, sustained assault. Someone, something is dismantling America's history, purpose, and character.
Fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Political dysfunction, social strife, economic peril, catastrophic moral failure, fires, attacks, riots, lies. The nation is being attacked from within by its own leaders. Powerful elites in government, journalism, academia, and beyond are intentionally, rapidly destroying what America is in order to make it into something else. There is a reason why your nation is crumbling before your eyes. There is a spirit and a specific perpetrator that is attempting to blot out America. Only America Under Attack reveals that perpetrator and the motive and spirit behind him. This newly expanded book shows you the reason why America has changed so dramatically, so suddenly. If you're confused and concerned about what is happening to America, request your free copy of America Under Attack by Gerald Fleury at thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
One of the more alarming trends that we see in our society today, and you can certainly see why, given the social engineering that's going on, it's these surveys that are surveying young people, and more young people are identifying as something other than heterosexual, just some kind of bizarre lifestyle. And of course, when you look at the LGBT community, the movement, when you see how it's just being rammed down our throats, when you see how that they're the victims, we're living in a victim culture. This is what the regime media is out there saying every day. And no wonder you'd have young people jump to the front of the line and say, hey, I'm one of those people. I want some benefits. I want to feel like a victim. This is from the Post-Millennial. A recent poll conducted by Brown University's campus newspaper, the Daily Herald, found that nearly 40% of students identified as something other than heterosexual. Brown University! 40%? You wonder if some of them are even afraid to just identify as heterosexual or normal. This is Sodom and Gomorrah. God said we'd be here. He said it. He said it in the New Testament with Jude and Peter. Jesus said it in Luke 17. Of course, you can read about it in Isaiah 3, Isaiah 1 as well. You can read the actual history back in Genesis 18, 19. Go back and read that and then think about what God says regarding Sodom and Gomorrah in prophecy. Why would Jesus refer us back to that and say, you better remember Lot's wife? She turned around and looked, gazed upon her city, gazed upon that satanic society, and did it longingly. She wanted to return in her heart. She had returned. This one here from Human Events. 40% of Brown University students say they're LGBT. This percentage has tripled since 2010. 2010, that's not even that long ago. 13 years ago? In 13 years, the number of people at this university, the number identifying as something other than heterosexual, it's tripled? Redefining Family. I referred you to that booklet a week or two ago. We're witnessing a massive experiment with social engineering. And it's just accelerating us into the cesspool of Sodom and Gomorrah, that's all. It says, the Herald's spring 2023 poll found that 38% of students do not identify as straight, over five times the national rate. Since fall of 2010, Brown's LGBT population has expanded considerably. The gay and lesbian population has increased by 26%. And the percentage of students identifying as bisexual has increased 232%. Students identifying as other sexual orientations within the LGBTQ plus community have increased by 793%. 793? What is happening? This is happening at a university near you. This is happening among young people at places of higher learning. They're supposed to be. At least that's how they're sold. That's the label that they go with. This is what passes for higher learning. It says here a 793% increase. That's not just a social contagion and rapid onset gender dysphoria. It also tells us that this is the fastest growing religious cult ever seen. It is a cultic movement. It is. And it's growing. It's growing fast. You can see why it's so important for us to anchor our hearts and our minds to the Word of God. It's never outdated. It's always applicable. It doesn't matter how much society changes. This still is the truth. This still is the Word of God. And the laws and the principles in this book, they still apply today, just as they did in the days of the Apostle Paul or of Jesus Christ, just as they did in the days of Moses, Abraham, David, all the prophets of old. The Word of God is sure. It's our foundation. It's our guidebook for living. It shows us the way to happy, abundant, and joyful lives, as I've been covering this week. Notice Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. It says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both you and your seed may live. Choose life. Choose the way of eternal life. Choose the way of blessings. There, as I've been covering, there's a law or a cause for every effect It is sure. Cause and effect. Blessings and cursings, said Moses. Choose blessings. Choose the way to blessings. God said in Isaiah 59 that there's a way to peace, but mankind doesn't know it. Mankind has rejected it. And so instead, they've made themselves crooked paths. They made their crooked path. They caused it, in other words. There's cause and effect. You can travel the road or the way to peace, or you can just kind of stumble along on crooked paths that you've made. It's a law, you see. It's a law. Verse 20 says, that you may love the Lord your God, and that you may obey his voice, and that you may cleave unto him. For he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Eternal swear unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them. See, the way of obedience leads, the way of love toward God, it leads to blessings, it leads to peace and prosperity. And at the same time, the way of disobedience leads to curses and death. It's just like Herbert Armstrong used to say, there's two basic ways of life. You can either serve yourself or you can serve God. You can love God with your whole heart and mind and soul. You can love the family of God that same way, and then you can love your neighbor as yourself. Or you can just selfishly go about your life, taking whatever you can, getting, in other words, the way of give versus get. Mr. Armstrong said this in Missing Dimension in Sex. He said, man is not to be punished for sin merely because God gave an arbitrary command, but God gave the commands because these violations rob us of joys and inflict automatic harm. The thou shalt nots are there to protect us from harm, also to ensure that we even experience greater joy down the road. God loves us. The thou shalts are there because God wants us to be doers. God wants us to follow in the steps of Christ. God wants us to go forward, not to go away. Go forward with God, not away, like the young man did in Matthew 19. He went away sorrowful because he had a lot of things. Couldn't give them up. He couldn't sever those connections. He couldn't break free from the pulls of this world. He wanted it both ways. He wanted the materialism and he wanted to follow Christ. But Christ taught that you can't serve God and mammon. You can't have it both ways. You've got to let go of the world and all the things of this world. And then follow God. Follow his lead. And he'll lead you to the peace and the prosperity, even to the things. Matthew 6:33 says, if you seek first the kingdom and God's righteousness, then all these things will be added. I mean, God is a provider. Now, we have to work. The tithing principle, the church literature always has taught, it's like a partnership. I mean, you're entering into a partnership economically, financially, with God. God owns everything there is. He gives us all that we have. And then he just asks for a tenth in return, a tithe. And we give it cheerfully. And we give it with a cheerful heart, because we want to finish the work of God. Mr. Armstrong says here, God's laws were set in motion to give us happiness, peace, security in plenty, and thrilling, radiant joys. God's laws are the gift of his love to us. God wants us to enjoy the blessings they make possible. This is the plain and rational truth. Why has a rebellious mankind insisted on being willingly ignorant of this basic fact of life? Why is there so much hostility toward God's holy and righteous and pure law of love? Why would people resist against it? Why would people go kicking and screaming however they can just get away from God and the Bible? Why is there such a hostility there Well, because there is a real spirit world, because there is a real devil. He's the God of this world. He's deceived the whole world. He's broadcasting constantly in his attitudes and moods of selfishness and vanity and lust, strife, division, fighting. He's the author of all those things. John 8:44 says he's the author of murder. He's the author of lying. He's the father of it. He's been a liar from the beginning. Notice John 13 and verse 14. It says, if I then, this is Jesus, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, then you also ought to wash one another's feet. I mean, if I do it and you're my disciples, then, well, you should follow my steps, follow my lead, follow my example. And of course, God's family does do that during the Passover service every year. The foot washing ceremony, an ordinance of humility. We certainly need some humility in this world, just puffed up with vanity and haughtiness, pride. Verse 15, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Just do this. Follow my example. Follow my lead, said Christ, which is precisely then why the world doesn't do it. Of course they don't. They're not going to do that. I mean, that would be humbling or even demeaning. Nobody wants to wash someone else's feet. Well, what did Christ mean by this? Why won't they do it? Well, there is an ignorance in this world, obviously. People don't understand. Most people probably never even read this passage. In any event, the bigger point that I want to make, verse 17, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. If you are a doer, see, the happiness comes from the doing. My father gave a program, a Key of David program. This is back in 2014. 9 years ago, the title, Doers and Not Hearers Only. Listen to clip 19.
Notice what God says. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Not if you hear them, but if you do them. It's the doing that God says we must focus on. Hearing God's word does not make us happy. What makes us happy is doing the things that God tells us to do. That is a promise from God that He will make you happy. Now, how many happy people do you know? I mean, truly happy people in this world. Well, I would venture to say you don't know very many, but you see, on the contrary, if we reject Christ's examples, then we may go out and have some temporary pleasure, but it's not going to last. It's not going to last very long at all. And God, if you look at the Bible, tells you that we were created to be happy human beings, filled with hope and joy and vision. Now, how much of that do you see today? We were created to be that way.
You don't see much happiness or joy or hope in the world today. Why? Well, because of cause and effect. We were created, though. God created us to be happy. He created us to be filled with hope. The way to happiness is in the doing, as my father said there. Focus on the doing. Hearing alone, hearing God's word will not make us happy. It's the doing. The hard part is the doing. But God says, if you do it, happy are you, or happy you will be. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to submit some feedback to the show, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.